you have a sound man? Sound man? Sound man anyone? Alright, so we're gonna have to sing loud then. You ready?
Alright.
My assistant Jake. Oh, we don't have it on here. We only had the sound person.
Yeah.
Come to me, our newborn king to see her up upon our finest gifts we bring her up upon who lay before the king her up upon up upon up upon up. So
Mary, did you know you've been Good morning. Wow, I'm glad you made a choice to come out to worship. I just knew when it started raining that people would melt away. If you're visiting today, welcome to Walnut Grove Methodist Church. We know you've experienced God's presence in this space. It's a prepared space, but also among His people as we prepare to worship together. We know the excitement of being together and seeing His Spirit move. And so we bring that with us to our observation today of Advent. We want to move ahead into our worship by having our lighting of the Advent candle today. Let's stand.
Today we light the third candle on the Advent wreath, the candle of joy. This week's Advent Bible reading is from Isaiah, chapters 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display His glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the Lord brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. This week's reading speaks of rejoicing, joy. Rejoice greatly in the Lord. Proclaim God's greatness everywhere, for God loves justice and hates wrongdoing. God binds up the brokenhearted and comforts those who despair. Isaiah says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. Proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. Proclaim comfort to those who mourn. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, God's righteousness for the poor, the outcast, the vulnerable. Proclaim the coming of hope in a tiny baby, the birth of righteousness and peace for all the nations. Let us pray. Spirit of God, anoint us as messengers of your good news to all people. As we light this third candle of Advent, move us to rejoice and proclaim your greatness. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please remain standing. The call to worship is verses 1 through 3. O come, Emmanuel. praise this morning is 718, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. We're singing it to the tune of Angels from the Realms of Glory. So if you're going to look in your hymnal, you might need to leave out a phrase or two to make it fit. I advise reading the words on the screen. This is all Pastor Chris, another one of those things. Christmas hymn, if I remember. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful time to be together in Christ. Wonderful time of the year as we celebrate and move through Advent and heighten our anticipation of our Lord's return and also His incarnation when God Himself came in flesh and dwelled among us. And so we celebrate that today. If you have a word of praise to God or thanksgiving you want to share, testimony of any kind, the Lord knows someone needs to hear that today. Bailey?
Chris Russo, he's a seventh grader at Gable. His cancer is in remission right now.
So praise God. That's very, I'm sure, a great blessing. Others? Brenda?
The church signs look wonderful.
I didn't get to see the one right out front yet. But, I appreciate all the hard work that went into that and come in before Christmas. And we're grateful for that. It looks very good. Anna?
Which is a quiet oak grove down. He wants to tell everybody Merry Christmas and he misses y'all.
Butch is at White Oak North Grove now. And Merry Christmas, he misses everybody. We miss Butch. Oh, the praise. Anil?
Linda is with my sister Alice, and she is very excited to be there. And she has made a promise to herself about something she wants to do again in this place. And so she is going to work to that end. So you will see her again.
Yeah. There's not a more beautiful vision in our sanctuary than when Linda sings. Just knowing that she gives her whole heart to that and the cost it must, you know, it must cost. Others?
Flo's having a big birthday tomorrow.
Flo, you're having a birthday tomorrow.
Well, you saw.
Boys told you. Well, happy birthday. Yeah. the Hallmark flowers on your birthday. I mean, Hallmark thing he does. Now, Jason?
Well, you all know Hannah's story. I was excited to get to walk with her and watch her walk for her master's degree. And she's far, far away from what the doctor said all those years ago, that she'd have to learn to walk, talk, and read, and write, and all that again. So, praise God.
One of the cherished pictures on my hard drive, her in her hospital gown in her bed, and just knowing that Faith was about to... Excuse me. All right, let me try killing this thing first. That help any? All right. Let me tell you, one time... No, I'm not going to tell that story. There was a time when a skunk was under the pulpit. In another church, in another time, with a much younger pastor who ran... Other words of praise. I will look. I know.
Well, I'm thankful that Jesus came as a baby, and we celebrate that. And I'm also thankful that he grew up and accomplished the purpose of his father. And like the words to the song we just sang, he is coming again to finish up. Wrap up everything, all
that's right. That's one of the Greek words for that time. It means summing up. So, what about our prayer concerns this week? Yes, ma'am.
A lady by the name of Joyce Simmons, who is in hospice.
Joyce Simmons. Okay. Kathy?
My brother Dan Eubanks' wife has entered hospice.
Oh.
So we need prayer.
Okay. And what was her name?
Alita.
Thank you. And was that, Bailey?
Kyle Renfro, he had a spot on his brain removed, and they're anxiously awaiting those results.
Right, okay, thank you. Brenda?
Joe and Brenda Lee, they're on the prayer list, but he was moved to hospice house this week.
Okay. Yes, ma'am, Connie.
Continue to pray for Marlene, please. She's doing okay, but... still struggling.
She had some rocky days, hasn't she?
Yes, she did.
Okay, so I'm going to continue after her procedure to remember Marlene. Terry?
My brother David Belcher, he had spinal surgery and has not gone well. And my sister Jeannie Bishop, who's taking care of him.
Okay.
And Camille shares a birthday with Miss Floyd tomorrow.
Really? Happy birthday, darling. Probably shouldn't have said darling. Boys?
Just remember the family of my good friend, David Brown, that passed away.
And you. We remember you as well. Others? Yes, sir, Harrison.
Mom's got a kidney stone and some sort of respiratory issue at the same time right here for everybody's trying to get together.
Yeah, okay. So, can you say her first name for us?
Candy Rowe.
Okay. Thank you. Others? Ann?
We need to pray for Sweet Julie Moon. She's having some tests and we need to...
We need to continue to pray for Julie. She's been researching and having doctors search for a cause and a solution for her problem. We know God can provide that answer in many ways. We want to continue to pray for that. Yes, sir, Sean.
Let's keep everybody in the prayers with the holiday season, everybody traveling out on the roadways.
Yeah.
Hopefully everybody stays
safe. Stay safe. Exactly. All right. John?
Paul Chaboka, his family decided to file a missing persons report on him. And if you pray for his family,
In working with addicts, you know, we like to celebrate every high spot and every victory, but we acknowledge too at times when it's just more than one individual can overcome. In so many different ways, and we pray for Paul in so many different ways. Others? All right. Well, this is a moment when all of us come together in spirit. Now, we're physically present in the same room, but when we direct our prayers as the body of Christ, our head, hears that and focuses that before the Father and adds his blessing to it. So let's bend our wills to God's will, and let's let him hear our hearts. Father, we come to you today full of many things. A lot of it is a reaction to the events in our lives this week, the presence or the absence of so many different things. But we know that in the purity of worship in spirit and truth, our entire being, our entire focus must be on God in Christ Jesus, our Savior. We pray for the instrumentality of your Holy Spirit in these moments, not only to anoint this service with your palpable presence, but to energize and bring to life our worship, that it might be suitable and pleasing to you. God, we confess also that we have many sins in our lives still remaining. We're constantly confronted by our failures and the accusations of the enemy. But you, in the Scriptures, say to us that you sing over us. You rejoice over us. We thank you that it's the cross that made that possible today. And we ask you, sinful though we are, God, to make our worship acceptable before you. That we would cleanse our hearts as sinners. That we would walk that path to perfection and holiness as believers. And God, that you would hear us in our prayers for others. We had a number of prayers today. We celebrate the active answers, your participation in healing, God, for all healing comes from you. Asking, God, as friends, loved ones, and acquaintances, believing in the power of the name of Jesus in prayer, we bring them before you, and we name our own silent concerns, the deep things of our hearts known only to you. As we experience your healing today, as you lift our hearts away from our troubles and into your presence, we ask that you would make us fitted to be your disciples in this coming week. Even as we pray in the name of Jesus, who told us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I think it has something to do with the pulpit, but I'm just going to stop talking about it. If it gets loud, I'll walk away from it. Well, as we now come to our announcements, I want to ask, first of all, if we need to emphasize any of our mission effort for this week or the following.
Just a quick word, and I know it has a few words too. Just a reminder today that we are meeting at the nursing home at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll be taking the stockings that we stuffed, and Alan is going to play. We're going to sing some carols with the residents. So at 2 o'clock, we're really going to assist the living.
Okay.
So in your bulletin today, there were two inserts. One of them, Now Choose Life, with the scripture from Deuteronomy, where the Lord said, I set before you life and death today, choose life. And they told me at the center that this is the last year they're using these. They're going to have new ones for next year. And they're also going to have their new location, which is right across the road from upstate, South Carolina upstate. And the building is going up. They're hoping to move in January. And that's really exciting. For one thing, it's their own property. They have been having to pay rent for the last 25 years where they are now. So they've not only outgrown the facility, it's old. So new start, new building, and new ways to minister to the community. On the red sheet, they've got a list of items that they are continually in need of. They actually have a drive-through ministry that started during COVID, where they make an announcement in the community, and people can pull up in their car and say what kind of formula they need and what size diapers they need, and they just hand it to them and pray with them, and they go on. And so they are in continual need of these things. And I would like to emphasize the need for larger size diapers, because this is not just a ministry for families with newborns. They continue to come back. They have mentors that work with them on their finances and housing and cooking and helping them to be good parents to their children. And so they've got toddlers that need diapers and pull-ups and things like that. So please remember to get something for the older children, up to size 4 and all. So thank you so much for everything that you do every year. It's always such an exciting time to get everything that we've brought here and take it to them in January for the new year, because we can't get it to them before Christmas, but we can give them a boost for the new year.
Thank you. And so, as they mentioned, today at 2 o'clock, we'll be going over to the Rosewood Assisted Living Facility. Sorry. Alice! I'm just so unaccustomed, but so blessed.
I delivered the supplies and the money donations that you all provided to the Spartanburg Rescue Center this past week. And the director, Dr. Williams, wanted me to pass along his appreciation for everything. And it will go a long way to help the guests that pass through that center. So. Thank you.
You did that very well. On this week's calendar, this Tuesday's Bible study will be our last one until after the first of the year. We will meet again after this Tuesday. We'll meet again on the 9th. This Tuesday, the Child Development Center is having a living nativity scene. I'm sure it won't last more than the first time 3 or 4 of them run off. But for that brief moment, you know, it's going to be a very special thing, and I'm sure a photo opportunity, but also an opportunity for us as a congregation to come by and support them in their ministry efforts. So look forward to seeing you have a part in that. Thursday evening, same thing. Last prayer time in the sanctuary until the 11th of January. On Sunday, the 24th, Christmas Eve, we're going to have a service. This will be sort of different. We've done different things in different years, but this will be indeed Come As You Are communion. But we will begin the time with a formal element of service, and then we'll go down to just serving as people come for communion. Okay? And that's a good time for you to get your family together and come to the Lord's table and set things right on Christmas Eve, and to develop a focus for your family. So I hope you'll take part in that. And on January 1st, beans and greens. Do we need to make any announcements about beans and greens? Well, go ahead, Brenda.
Becky is sending around a sign-up sheet, items that are going to be needed, and I have half steamer pans and lids on the front pew up here. If you need those, take them home. One suggestion, if you do flank-eyed peas, you might want to double pan to because those pans get even wobbly. And try to drain off a lot of juice, otherwise you're going to be losing that juice in your car and getting it into the light center. One last thing, right on the top of the lid, what's in there so we can put it in the warmer unit and know what's what without taking lids off.
Thank you. All right.
And one other thing. At the end of church today, we have the gift bags for the kids, so send the kids up.
They have gift bags right down here at the front, and after the service, at conclusion, you can come and get those. All right, Inel?
No, that was it.
That was it, okay. All right, well, if we are ready now, we'll have the usher.
No, we're not ready yet.
Judy, third Sunday.
This is third Sunday. I am not parked in the first parking place. Somebody got my parking place. It's very similar to my car, so don't try to open your car there. Alarm may go off. My car is parked right here in the second place. It is unlocked. And if anybody has money for the Woodruff Soup Kitchen, I will be glad to take those donations tomorrow. Now you can proceed.
I've just been reminded of so many office and friends and Seinfeld episodes involving parking spaces. All right. Well, if the ushers will come forward, we'll receive God's tithe and our offering.
Lord, what an amazing thing it is to be with the people in the midst of this anticipation. Lord, forgive us when we just try to make it so complicated when yet it was so simple. Receive our offerings, our simplicity from our hearts, giving hearts, Lord, because we love you. May it advance your kingdom through this body, may it be pleasing to you, and may you be blessed by all that we bring to your table. This we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28.
This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is what we believe.
Thanks be to God.
I'd like to share a poem with you. It's titled, "The Child Who Was Born a King." She was only a simple peasant girl who was raised in a small, dusty town and betrothed to a lowly carpenter when the message of God came down. Joseph thought she had been unfaithful and was minded to put her away, till God's angel spoke to him in a dream and he took her to wife that day. To Bethlehem they had to travel to obey the Roman decree that it might be fulfilled what the prophet said, where the birth of the child would be. Shepherds left their flocks to seek him, and wise men their gifts did bring, and they fell down to worship before him, the child who was born a king.
Thank you. Let us receive our offering. Now the kids are going to depart briefly for a separate lesson. Anyone else? This is the third Sunday. Third sermon in a three-part series on Christmas contrasts. And some part of the struggle that we as Christians engage in our hearts and families, and also in our practice in our public life from day to day. But I wanted to try to bring that to a close today. Much if Jim Johnston was here, he'd be slinking down in the pew. He can't believe I'm even trying to do this. But it's been an interesting learning curve for me as well. I want to draw your attention first to Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. Colossians 2, 16 through 23. "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are shadows of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism or worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth
that is from God. And then also from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, 33 and 34. Jesus said, "For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine. You say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" Let us pray. Father, we only need the pure revelation of your Spirit bringing this word to life today. We ask that you cut through all the noise, the personal chatter in our mind. As a matter of fact, we rebuke every unclean spirit that would afflict and cause us to be distracted from what you would say to each one today. We bind you in Christ's mighty name into silence and confusion before the King of Kings. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought it was appropriate to pray against demonic influences because that's going to be a part of our discussion today. The pagan, the demonic, and the Christian in culture. Ta-da! I'm going to tell you today why I'm glad they call it holiday season. I'm going to throw in a little bit about why I don't know how you can keep Christ in Christmas. I'm also going to say I don't know what to think about Easter anymore. I've turned liberal, you see. I'm going to argue for a Christian regrouping, a retrenching, and a rethinking. I want to talk about being not afraid of the truth when, as it regards our Christian practice, our theology, our worldview. Christmas, Easter, Halloween, birthdays of famous people like Flo Nodine. Here we are at Christmas. Christmas for the Christian, the incarnation of the Christ. That God Himself, incarnate means enfleshment. That Jesus came in flesh and lived among us. Yes, born to a virgin. And of the parousia, the second coming. The time of the summing up, the bringing together of all things, and then view of these things. How then should we live? I've been thinking this week about seeing the meaning in symbols. I don't have to see red and white to know that an octagon sign is something I'd better prepare to stop for. That symbology is built into my life. It's a part I don't even have to think of, except to think, is this a four-way or just a two-way? Or when you look at a flag, what do you see? I give you a minute because the question comes back, what flag? Mm-hmm. Right? I show you a flag. It matters what flag it is as to what you think. And this evokes a whole pattern and lifestyle, a worldview, an expression of what you think of this or that flag. Even culture and Christianity. And so the meaning of symbols is pregnant with possibilities. I remember the first scrap I got into with a church lady. I said lady, didn't I? A church person. It was in my first appointment, 30 years old, mostly still body man, this much preacher. And I had messed up the paraments, which are the cloth thingies on the altar. And I had no idea the wrath I was about to expose myself to. I got dressed down standing right there by a woman who was an expert in such things and whose memory is honored now, but I got a preaching to about the proper paraments. For many, there's just cloth, dressing. I've heard this rail, this altar rail, called a fence more times than you can imagine. Why is the fence there? I want to say it's to keep the sheep up in the pulpit. You let the goats run free. Symbols. I just turned to page 4 by accident, so don't think anything about that. One of my favorite theologians tends to be a more moderate theologian. His name is N.T. Wright. He's an Anglican bishop. He wrote in one of his recent books, Surprised by Hope, these words: Christmas itself has now far outstripped Easter in popular culture as the real celebratory center of the Christian year. A move that completely reverses the New Testament emphasis. We sometimes try in hymns, prayers, and sermons to build a whole theology on Christmas. Then we keep Lent, Holy Week, and Good Friday so thoroughly that we hardly have any energy left at Easter, except for the first day and night. Easter, however, should be the center. Take that away and there is almost literally nothing else. I agree and I disagree with him because, frankly, the incarnation, you can't do without that either. And we know the power and the significance of resurrection. So it becomes a both and, doesn't it? But we tend to want to go either or. It's just the way we're made. Rome was overtaken by Christianity in 300 years. By the decline of its own culture, which is similar in thought to today, and by the rise of the Christian faith, in God's will, Rome fell to Christianity in 313. But is there anybody in this room or any scholar alive who believes that the entire Roman culture became Christian? No, Rome was famous for its celebrations of pagan holidays and the worship and the following of God, many gods. And to become Christian meant sometimes you brought along a trainload of those things. But one of the most popular things in Rome was this celebration of, Saturnalia, the worship of the god Saturn. After the winter solstice, and it was a religious holiday for pagan, you know, this religion. But it had degenerated. I'm sure they were appalled at the frivolity people underwent at the celebration. Finally, it had sort of washed out into the Roman culture as a time to get your family together, have your office parties, and to celebrate for days on end. Christianity, in one of its great, I think, appropriating moves in Rome, and then as it moved into other cultures in the world, would often appropriate local customs and holidays and interpret and reinterpret them with religious significance. We didn't make up the Christmas story. It's all there to see. But because of the Christian mind and the imagination and symbols, we look at things and we begin to see things in them. We can invest meaning in a tree or a candle. Again, it kind of matters what tree you're looking at. We'll get to that in a minute. And what candles. For many in a church on Sunday morning, many of the symbols, especially these doodads embroidered on things, mean nothing to the observer. Not at all. Or to say it's time to celebrate Lent in the church, and half of Christian culture in America goes, "You celebrate the Lent from your navel? Your dryer vent?" So again, does that rob or take away anything at all from our perception of Lent, or from a cross, or from a tree, or from a candle? No. The religious aspects of that holiday in Rome were lost, but it became a popular festival
to bring happiness in the bleakness of the winter season. I'll draw you back now to my illustration from the Jews in America who felt so isolated from our culture in so many ways, but who felt a need to acculturate and assimilate a Christian holiday without the Christ. And while we can, and I'm going to talk to you about the demonic in a minute, don't worry, don't run ahead. We can sympathize with that. We understand that. But we know that it also serves to loosen our grasp on the culture, Christianly. And sometimes that's a good thing. But it can leave us feeling like someone is trying to rob our Christmas or steal our joy. But we can look into that story that I've been sharing for a couple of weeks and see our proper response to the culture's assimilation of Christmas. We can see that the popular cultures around the world for centuries have had winter celebrations and parties, times for good cheer and lighting a bonfire of, pouring a little bit too much beer in Germany, especially where a lot of this came from. But I digress again. Christianity, because we are families who live in cultures, has had no problem adapting to those things in our Christianity. We simply need to be reminded, and I believe in the interest of truth, and not be afraid of some things, so that our children will not run pell-mell away from us into the arms of the culture on account of the truth. Jesus' actual date of birth, unknown. But if you offer to pay me $5,000, I'll name one for you. But priests and practitioners of Christianity move into a culture and they begin to adapt and they begin to reinterpret the symbols and imageries of that culture. It's a very natural thing to do in evangelization. Because winter festivals are common around the world, and because Christianity became the dominant religion, it overtook many previous pagan traditions. I have to find the rest of my sermon. Gift giving, feasting, a hearty celebration in December could describe a cultural Christmas. Could also describe many Christian homes around the time of Christ. We celebrate Christ's birth. But Christianity and its burgeoning influence in the culture as big business and retail industries took hold of it and recast it in the imagery of Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas. The Christmas trees that many of the early Germans would bring into their homes and decorate. That Martin Luther adapted as a Christian symbol. It become a time of joy around the world that everyone wanted to participate in. The hymns, and I said until recently there were only Christian Christmas songs. And so the culture people would sing them, but the words were sometimes annoying and frankly convicting, right? And so there's now a popular culture of Christmas songs. And they're beautiful, but now I was annoyed last night. Didn't do anything for my sermon preparation either. On the way home last night, I wanted to listen to, Joy likes to listen to Christmas music, Christian Christmas music. So we turned to our favorite Christmas channel on the radio. They didn't sing a single Christian Christmas song on the Christian radio station. We were dreaming of a white Christmas and jingle bells and the carols of bells. And Joy goes, "This is wild. They're all Christian singers. We can't stray too far in either direction if we are going to pursue our truth today." Is
Christmas trees in any way associated with Jesus Christ? No. Why is decorating a Christmas tree considered cult and witchcraft? It's because, in fact, it was taken from pagan tradition and the decorating of the tree as well. But even before that, in Jeremiah chapter 10, we have a reference to decorating a tree. Listen. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, you like my Israel? Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers, that it not move. Sound familiar? 600 years before Christ. In John 4, Jesus tells us that the true worshipers of God will worship in spirit and truth. And sometimes wrestling with the truth is an uncomfortable exercise, but it is always love in God's way. And Christmas, with its pagan origins in different ways, its commercial value to the world, and the fact that enemies of Jesus Christ celebrate it with glee, cause us to recognize uncomfortable truth when we are worshiping in spirit and truth. Here we go. Does Scripture tell us to worship Christ's birthday? No. Is Christ's birthday on December 25th? I don't think so. Were shepherds in the field at night in December? Absolutely no. Were there three wise men? The Bible does not say how many there were. We know there were three gifts. Were the wise men in the stable? Did they see the baby in the manger? No, they showed up 2 years later to a house where they were living. And that's why Herod had all the children who were 2 years and younger killed. He inquired of the time of the Savior's birth, and then had all the children slaughtered who'd been born in the intervening time. Isn't it funny how sometimes our songs and our culture wrap things into our very Christianity? And really, you could say we've wound up facing the same problem we faced last year in June when this church was closed. The stretching can only go so far. And all I'm saying is, as I prepare for a year now, in this coming year, of addressing red herrings and straw men and everything else, I want you to stay nimble-footed, because I'm going to stomp on every toe I can, including my own. We must worship God in spirit and truth. We don't need our Christmas traditions adding to our trouble. But I enjoy Christmas trees. So much that I kept a miniature one lit in my den for an entire year. During some of the most horrific times of my personal life, maybe yours, it was called COVID, and other things like being hated in the church, the light of that tree gave me strange comfort at night as I prayed. Its muted yellow lights were an aid to my time in prayer. Why do I celebrate Christmas? Because it gets warm and fuzzy and I'm old. I like little children being so happy. I like to give gifts. I especially like when they know the real reason for the season, and we celebrate that. I like when our family takes up money once a year to send to a charitable organization in the name of my parents.
You see, we create a lot of these traditions, and they have good roots. I like Christmas because I like to think of the incarnation. Little baby Jesus. And I like to think of the parousia, the second coming of Christ. When He answers every trouble in your life with the truth. When He will speak the truth into your brokenness and into your sin and forgive you and wash you. That's what I look forward to in Advent and Christmas. I'm just going to say to you today, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And more than that, if you would put gold and silver on a tree and put it in church or around your neck on a chain, the old rugged cross, the method of execution, should you be throwing stones? Just remember the meaning we invest. I got to the end of my sermon and didn't talk about demons or anything. Oh well. Just realize that there are those who want to work evil through signs and through the imagery in our lives. Sometimes yoga and the things you do in the morning with your silly tights on can invoke more power in more places than you realize. Well, my best line was that don't throw the baby out with the water. So whether it's tree or tree, it's up to you to invest it with meaning and to interpret it to your children. Let us pray. Father, take these words, and there were a lot of them, and cook it down into something that we have received over a period of weeks that you can use in our lives, that we can appreciate and enjoy Handel's Messiah, and we can enjoy a party just like Jesus did until the coming of Christ again and the gloriously big party at His wedding feast. And now, Lord, help us in our reflection. Holy Spirit, work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus came to save us from our sins. He came to die a cruel death, your death, as a matter of fact, your criminal death on a cross, to save you, rescue you from your own sin, because you couldn't do it, and you could never be good enough. And so as Jesus comes to us in this holiday season, we remember one who still in some way bears the scars in His body, but who has taken away your suffering and taken away your sin. If you want to know how to have that Jesus as your Savior, I'd be more than willing to pray with you to receive Him. It means having Him become your Lord and Master, your God. And today is, there's no other better day than today for that to happen. If you come to the altar and raise your hand, I'll come and pray with you. Otherwise, there'd be other people here at the altar. People pray for a number of reasons, and we're going to make time for that to happen now.
Child, lowly in a manger. to the world a stranger. Such a baby, such a place. Can he be the Savior? Ask the Savior.
Rejoice, rejoice. come, O come, thy wisdom on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in a
you that next Sunday is Christmas Eve, in case you didn't know. And we intend for that day to be a day of rejoicing and a day of music and scripture. So bring a song or extra song or two, and if you want to sing a solo or something like that, we'll make time for you in the basement somewhere. We'd love to have you come and be a part of a singing service filled with scripture and filled with Christ at its center. So we hope you'll come, and we hope you'll be here both in the morning and for that evening service as we join together in His name. Let's stand and sing the final hymn, 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Sinners reconciled. deity. Pleased with us in flesh to dwell, in Jesus, our Emmanuel. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God your Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, be yours today.